passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Top of the hour and basketball media days going on in Birmingham. We'll send it back to the crew because we have a special guest waiting from Vanderbilt, guys.
Hey, Paul. Of course, a special guest has Ravagnon and also Coach Jerry Stackhouse. And Coach, I just want to let you know, I pick you in every single game for the remainder part of the season. Just so you know, undefeated national champion, Vanderbilt Commodores. For those who don't know, let's go ahead and show you what went down last year at the basketball tournament.
Say what?
Fired up.
Look at Steph.
You guys were having fun, obviously, after an emotional victory against Kentucky there in Nashville. Oh, yeah, it's all Darius. Right. What was that moment like to have that, to have those doubters, to answer that, and to try to build that into this offseason?
I know. I mean, I just think it's we still got doubters. I mean, it's nothing changed. And we just saw the kind of the prediction for this year. I mean, it felt like we probably brought back this most experienced backcourt in our league. And we've been able to add some pieces around that. But, again, in the years past, probably could be in something like, all right, man, to have a chip on your shoulder or something. Right. We're not even about that anymore, man. Mm-hmm. It's just about us getting better and pushing each other every day in practice and trying to be the best that we can be. And we feel like if we, you know, we do that and focus that every day, everything else will take care of itself the way it's has in the past. I mean, they picked us somewhere like that last year, and we wound up finishing in the top 25% of our league, and that's our goal to finish better than we did last year.
Well, I don't know if you watched the video, but you never want to commit a crime with Dari. Dari was pointing out everybody. You know, if you commit a crime with Dari, Dari goes, sorry, Dari, you're going to jail. I was impressed, and one thing, you know, I've been traveling around, I got to see you guys a few weeks ago. Every coach in the league always talks about your basketball IQ and your mindset. How would you assess the job that you've done since coming to Vanderbilt?
No, I mean, I just think it was a little bit of a tough sledding early on. I mean, I really didn't feel that way. I still felt that we had enough when we probably actually didn't. But I still felt that we did. We ran a lot of games, and we just had to be perfect. And I think now it's a case where we don't have to be as perfect anymore. We got some length. We got some athletes that can cover up some things.
You got a five.
Yeah, you know got five, you know what I'm saying, that can do some things for us. So I think that's kind of the thing. I love kind of what Prime said. Like, you know, we've already been the worst that we're going to be. Mm. So, you know, so it's now it's time for us to really just focus on ourselves and go out and improve and really display who we are.
Nice. And Ezra, obviously great season last year. And as the extension of coach on the court, what was it that you were focusing on this offseason and this preseason to get you guys where you want to be?
Yeah, I think our emphasis was just being us. That's what coach preaches every day. Just continue to do what we do, do it the Vanderbilt way, and just continue to be us. We feel like we got the pieces to do what we want to do, mm-hmm. and you know, we're just focused on being the best we can every day. So,
who are you outside of the ball player? Who are you outside of the ball player? Like, we see it, we see the film, we talk about you after the games, but like in Nashville at home, who is Ezra?
Yeah, I think I'm just a regular guy. Man, I love the Lord, and, you know, I put that on display a lot. I love my family. I love my teammates, and I'm just an easygoing guy. Do what I got to do, and just, you know, just put my head down and work. That's what I do.
He's not a regular guy.
At all.
He's special in a lot of ways. He's modest, and he's a good man, as you see, but no, I think he's a great leader for us. I mean, not only just in our locker room, but across campus. I get people to come up to me all the time. I met Ezra Manzon, man. We've had a great conversation with him, and I just think that means a lot. That's great for a coach when you're able to not only recruit good talent, but you recruit good citizens, and we got it throughout our roster, and it starts with him.
And, Coach, I just want to pick up on that. From on the court, and you've been in a lot of locker rooms on a lot of teams, what's the value of having that guy that you can trust out there with the basketball?
No, I mean, I just think, you know, like you said, always been an extension of the coach, and none of this understanding that and just his effort. I mean, you always want to, you know, lead by example. And I think, you know, nobody's going, you know, hog the ball even when, you know, maybe we're not having our best offensive night. He's still going to bring the effort on the defensive end. He's still going to be positive in the locker room. He's still going to make sure that he's, you know, not only doing the things but saying the things that the younger guys need to, you know, when they, you know, hit those little, you know, peaks and valleys early on in the season. And having someone like that, you know, Tyron, he's more of a, you know, lead by example. But it's great to have guys that can, you know, not only lead by example but can be a vocal voice for you as well, because they don't need to hear from the coaching staff all the time. They need to be able to lead from within, and I think he's an excellent at doing that.
Yeah, Ezra, you know, we've heard about the best backcourt in the SEC this year, but I thought you all had an exceptional under-the-radar recruiting class. Who are some of the younger guys that's impressed you the most?
I mean, I think all of them impressed me. You know, I think our entire young group and the new group that we brought in, the transfers too, I think they impressed us, but I think they're going to impress everybody, you guys, everybody. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
All right, so when you're pulling him, y'all scrimmaging or whatnot, and you're like, oh, man, this is going to be the guy D'ing me up here today. Like, you just know it's going to be a tough practice. Who is that guy? Who's the cat?
I go to battle with Paul Lewis every day.
Every day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting me better. We, you know, iron sharp as iron, and that's true in our practice gym. And also Isaiah West, he's a young guy, but he battles with us too. You know, they're both fearless players, and that's all we can ask for is guards.
I'm curious, off the court, Peter Burns asked you a while ago kind of what you do, but we know what this guy over here does off the court. How would you assess his ability to get down on the grill? I know he has some of the best barbecues all across the country.
Hey, coach,
what kind of skills does he have on that grill there?
Y'all have no idea. Yeah, we had a little barbecue. I went straight up to coach. I was like, I need that shrimp.
He put in orders and everything, man.
Yeah,
We're going to break bread. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what we are going to do. We're going to make sure we break bread.
Yeah. Nice. Coach, in the changing landscape of college basketball, most notably the transfers, like, your college career wasn't similar to that. I mean, you may have had a couple of guys transfer, but what was it, what experience in your life got you accustomed to it, and knowing how to bring in transfers and mesh them into the guys that are already there?
No, it's just it's kind of been trial and error, man. It's just kind of, for us, it's more the grad transfers. We're not like everybody else where we can probably go in and bring in juniors and seniors, because just from the academic standpoint, you know, Vanderbilt's just not going to take those type of credits, you know. So it's like, it's either probably a freshman, you know, who maybe situation wasn't what it was, and we could bring him in as a sophomore and they would accept those credits, but a junior or senior, so it's on the top side of that, of going out and get a grad transfer, and you only really get those guys for 1 year. And we've been able to you know, be pretty good there, finding guys the couple-year program. Liam was, you know, come in as a grad, and you know, I think these guys that you're about to see now, you know Evan Taylor, you know, Tassos, you know, can really shoot the basketball, man. We got some guys, and then along with in the portal, you know, Ben Allen Lubin, who transferred in from Notre Dame, man. We're really excited about him. We're high on him. Jordan Williams, who was at Texas A&M. I mean, he's, you know, again, Paul going against him every day. I mean, Tyron going up against you know Paul and Jason and Jordan every day. You know, it's a test, it's a battle, and that's what we want every day. If you compete hard and have to go against guys every day, then the game should flow a little bit easier when they come around, and then that's what we want to try to create.
Coach of the year in G League last year, SEC coach of the year, co-coach of the year. What are the expectations for Coach Jerry Stackhouse this
year? I should win it again. If y'all got us picked 12th, no way in hell this team finishes 12th.
Those guys
I promise you that. I'll have my papers in if this team finished 12th in this league.
I promise you
that.
And there it is. So. We heard it right here.
And I got my to-go order for some shrimp. I'm in good shape right now, right there. Jerry Stackhouse, Ezra, we appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Good luck to the Doors coming up.
Thank you, man.
Going to be an incredible season. We got a lot more coming up from Birmingham as SEC tip-off rolls on, and the Paul Feinbaum Show does as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Rick is in Houston as we continue here on a Wednesday. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So, a couple of quick things before I get to Jimbo Fisher. First of all, want a second. bash on what a great interview with Major General Bowles. Also, I tell you what, man, I think that Tyler Booker is absolutely hands down the most interesting and fun student athlete that you've interviewed in quite some time. I mean, this is the second time he's been on the show, and he's just a joy to watch.
I agree. He's fun. He's serious. He just encompasses everything you want in a college athlete.
Well, not only that, he is one of the most respectful young men that I've seen on TV in a long, 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 long time. But hey, so about Jimbo, I have decided that I cannot call the man Dumbo anymore, because he's got to be pretty sharp to be able to get paid $10 million a year to do a mediocre job. And if he ever does get fired, he's going to get 77 or 67 million, whatever the buyout is when that time comes. So I got to give it to the guy. He must be pretty darn sharp.
No, I mean, you have to admire a guy that understands the art of the deal.
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, guess what? Lady Tigers are number one going into the season.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks for the call. Really good to hear from you. How about Wanda up next? Hello, Wanda.
Hi, Paul. First-time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, roll tide, by the way. I have a question, and it's about Coach Prime in Colorado, everything going on over there. In your humble opinion, because I respect your opinion so much, do you feel like the kids have lost? I mean, it's not about football. It just seems like it's lights, camera, action, and football is second. If you were in charge, how would you change things for next season?
Number one, I would not let my son try to be a huckster at halftime of a game when he mentioned he was trying to sell stuff while he talked about the fact that we're up 29-0 and they ended up losing the game. And I think that's the most egregious mistake that he has made. And he got, for the first time, criticized for it. But I think overall, Prime has done a great job of making a program fun again. He's brought it back from the dead. And yeah, it's a different concept with cameras rolling at all times, but that's pretty much the way college life is. I mean, you can't walk down the street on a college campus without pictures being taken every 5 seconds. So it's a little different than it used
to
be.
Okay.
Hey, thank you very much, Wanda. Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey there.
I got a question, and what a segue, because the question I had was right there with Coach Prime. For years, we thought St. Nick's replacement would be Dabo. He's a walk-on, and we thought he was a sure walk-in to Alabama, and all that's gone by the wayside. Do you see the molding going on Coach Prime, and do you see a pathway for him? And I know not next year, but do you see the pathway for him to make it to Alabama's head coach?
Bill, I think there's a path for Prime to make it to any major school whenever the time comes. I mean, but it's so difficult to pick the moving target that is Nick Saban. He's been asked about retirement now going on about 6-7 years, and that may go on for any number of years. I mean, I really don't know. I feel like I watch that program like you do, and you observe, but so many things factor into that, but let's just for the sake of argument, if Saban left at some point, would he be a candidate? I would think he should be. I really do. I think he's the hottest coach in the country right now, so Alabama is one of the biggest names. We take a break. We will head back to Media Days in just a moment, and then more phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Dave is up next in Ohio. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, real quick. I know you do a lot of SEC talking here, and I like it, even though I'm up here in Ohio and in Big Ten country. Obviously, a big Buckeye fan. I'm just curious your take on the game this weekend. It's a big game for Ohio State and Penn State. And I love Drew Aller. You know, he's from my hometown. I've seen him play high school.
Yeah, Dave, let me answer the question this way. I like Ohio State because I just have no faith in James Franklin winning a big game. I know that sounds cliche, but he's given me nothing to buy. Let's get back to Birmingham right now. Peter Burns getting ready to interview Bruce Pearl in Auburn.
Oh, I appreciate it, Paul. I'm looking forward to you getting back to Ohio State-Penn State breakdown here in a little bit. But there is a typo here as Jani Broome and Coach Bruce Pearl join us. And I see this. It says, Head Coach Bruce Pearl enters his 10th season on the Plains. There's no way that's true. That would, like, is that really true?
Hard to believe. I feel like I just got there. I still go to work every day trying to reward Auburn to give me the opportunity of a lifetime. But I am entering my 10th season.
It's
that's like in dog. Coaches in doggy years. Like I just,
you still look great though, Coach. Hadn't aged you a bit.
I put on a few pounds.
Well, who hasn't?
You know,
I was going to say
food down there.
It's
how
really good.
Not?
Southern gourmet, man.
Come on,
Jani. We have some fun here with Coach, but then it's rare that we see really talented players making their trip back home, right? Mm-hmm. And playing at where they were at, whether they're transferring, they're going to go test their game over the next level. You decided to come back. Why?
I just feel like that was best for, you know, my future. You know, playing for a guy like Bruce, you know, I know he's going to expand my game and get me prepared for next level. You know, going there, I got great feedback, and, you know, Coach was with me the whole way, you know, just talking to me about what he thought best, you know, and I had to talk with him, my family, right before my decision I made, and we both thought that it was best for me to come back and for him to get me ready for another year and to dominate the SEC.
Coach Pearl, Jani talked about playing for a guy like Coach Bruce Pearl, a three-time SEC Coach mm-hmm. of the Year, a guy who's eighth all-time winningest coach in the SEC. Got Auburn to the number one ranking for the first time. What is it like for Coach Bruce Pearl right now? You're still enjoying it? You're having fun?
I like my team. I like my team. We got great kids, great character, hard workers, guys that want to be great. But, you know, one of the things I always promise the players is I'm going to bring in good guys. I'm going to bring in guys that you're going to want to be friends with for the rest of your lives. Mm. You know what that's like as a player, you know. And we've sort of done it. And, look, the decision for Jani was not an easy one. Like, he really had a shot to go late second round. Mm. And he played his way into the draft. He had a great year for Auburn. And then he kept working on his game in the spring. And he goes from the G League Combine to the NBA Combine. They now know who he is, and yeah. They've asked him to do some things in his game, and you know, expand his game offensively, impact the game more defensively. Those are things that I think he could do for us this year, and it'll be a win-win.
Coach, you've had a great run of guards, point guards, right?
I wouldn't say guards.
Guards.
I know.
He's
a
Massachusetts. He's the only guy that can understand me because he's a Massachusetts guy. Sharon Mass, shout out. Always have great ones.
Yeah.
Now, the battle in the backcourt this year, KD Johnson, Trey Donaldson, Aiden Holloway, even Denver Jones.
Yep.
How do you see that working itself out?
You know, the front line is really, really good, really deep, really solid, mm-hmm. really experienced. The front line, the backcourt, the only place where Young is point guard. We're Young at quarterback. Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway. Both, look, Trey is a tough football player, winner's mentality. You know, Aiden Holloway's got some special in him. He can really shoot. He has a great feel for the game. So they're a little young, they're a little inexperienced, but they're talented. But then we got some older guys next to him with KD, who is athletic and explosive, can win games for you on the offensive and the defensive end. Denver Jones might be our most complete guard, a guy that does it. He's a two-way, he affects the game two-way. Really worked on his body and hungry to go from, you know, junior college, then mid-major, now the high major level. You know, he's gonna grind, and he's gonna have a really good year. And then at the three spot, you know, Chad Baker, Chris Moore, Chaney Johnson may bounce down there. Lyra Berman. We've got some options in the backcourt. We got great depth, but we'll have to see, you know, how the backcourt evolves as we get challenged. I think the backcourt's better offensively than they are defensively when you Jani.
That's where he comes in the back of the defense.
Hey, Jani, you think about last year. You had a good season. I don't know how many people thought you guys had a chance against Houston, but you come out and you're up double digits at the half. But they are able to come back and grind it out and win the basketball game. What did you learn from that game that you can take into this season?
I learned a lot. I'll say, you know, like you said, you know, going up double digits against a team like Houston, with the team we have, you know, I feel like we should have finished that game a little bit better. I feel like we came out a little flat second half, you know. And something I learned was, you know, just kind of finishing games. You know, coach always talks about finishing possessions, finishing plays, and making winning plays.
Yeah.
And I feel as though we kind of lacked that against Houston, and they kind of beat us to a couple 50-50 balls, and, you know, the ball kind of went their way a little bit. But I feel like this year, with this team here, I feel like we'll be able to change that this year.
Bruce, there's some changes too, and a lot around the sport, right? We talked to the athletic directors, John Cohen's in here in the house. We talked to the chancellors, all of that about big picture stuff. There's still changes that happen on the court this year.
Yeah.
Rule changes that have that people are kind of going under the radar.
You know,
about.
The biggest rule change is the fact that it's going to be really hard for that secondary defender
right.
to come over and take a charge. Okay. That he's got to be there and set when the offensive player has placed his last foot on the ground, and that's way sooner, maybe 1,001 sooner than the rule was before. And to tell you how Auburn has become a basketball school, when the athletic director at Auburn traveled to the SEC basketball media day in football season. Like, this is unprecedented stuff right here. Everybody in the SEC can tell you that. John Cohen's in the house.
With yeah, that, going back to that, how much are you changing? Is that something you address with the guys? Do you drill it out? Like, how does that work, Janai?
Okay, so one of the things, like, and we've talked about this a little bit before, the question I'd ask Janai is, can he stay in front of you? And so I think he can take his man. The secondary defender's not going to come over and block a shot and or get there and take a charge. Mm-hmm. And so they can't stay in front of KD Johnson. KD, get to the rim
right.
and try and finish, because it's going to be hard to rotate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what it's done a little bit, and it's done, it's brought the athlete that can't shoot that well back into the game and be a major factor offensively, because guys are going to be hard to guard.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard to stay in front of.
Hey, Janai, you come back, lead the team in points, rebounds, of course, block shots. And, Coach, I'm not encouraging him to start shooting pull-up threes or anything like that.
You can take a couple. You're going to have to guard him out there.
What's the improvement that we'll expect to see from you?
I just feel as though working on my game, like Coach said, from last year to this year, you know, but a shout-out to Coach. You know, he's always gave me the green light, mm-hmm. or he's always – wanted me to shoot the ball. You know, me coming here, you know, he wanted me to become a better shooter. You know, even from last year when I really couldn't shoot the ball that much, I took 5 threes my first 2 years of college, and I took 40 last year. And I just feel as though I'm more confident. My coaches are more confident. My teammates are more confident in me. But, you know, like Coach says, you know, it's about taking the right ones, you know, kind of having mixing it up a little bit with the step-ins and, you know, being around the basket, because I'm still so scared around the basket, and stepping down and shooting a three ball.
And then I got to trust him, too. I want to put the ball in his hands also as a playmaker, because he's a good passer. So when you throw it to him in the post, we put him at the top of the floor, he can, you know, he get his teammates some shots.
Yeah, he knocked him down on pro day when I was there, too. I was impressed. And I, you know, Coach Bruce Pearl, I asked you this question a little bit differently than a lot of the other coaches, because you've been in the league at Tennessee, at Auburn. You've been around the SEC for a long time. How would you assess this accumulation of coaches currently this year, along with the talent in the league?
The coaches at the top of the league are always top coaches. I think if you look at where the league has been picked, and you look at the bottom, let's say we have 14 teams, the bottom seven are, you know, teams in our league, there's some unbelievable coaches there, and they ain't gonna be there at the bottom long. And so I think the quality of coaches, the quality of players, the support of the programs, this is gonna be a grind. This is going to be a grind. There are three or four teams in our league that are picked the top four, five, or six. That, you know, what they're going to be some losses out there.
Yeah.
So which teams can stay together? Which teams will get better throughout the season? Which teams can lose two in a row in league, and still know you might have a chance to win this thing?
Yeah.
I think the champ and the teams at the top two or three are going to have a few losses.
Last thing for you, you were talking about the suits for the guys over here on the set earlier. How about Jalen Williams? Does he know that he doesn't have to go with the really short shorts that show off all the leg muscles? Right. Like, are you going to talk to your man over there or what, Coach?
You know what? I haven't checked out Jalen Williams' legs.
There you go.
Should I be concerned that, you know, you were eyeballing Jalen's legs?
Hey, the fact that, like that, the way he hops out of the building, I would trade it for the Wolves.
Winter.
Coach, it's a blast right now. Should be fun. Janai, going to be interesting to see, right, to take that homework that they gave you right there when you look for the NBA draft of what you can do and build upon the year. Looking forward to seeing that and the Auburn Tigers coming out this year down in the jungle. A lot more coming up at SEC tip-off, and a lot more coming up on the Paul Finebaum Show right there on the SEC Network.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Media Day is going on in Birmingham. Let's send it back to PB. LSU has arrived.
It's true, Paul. Matt McMahon, Derek Fountain rolling in the house right now. And Derek, first time on the private jet this morning over here. How was that whole experience for you, my man?
Great, cool.
Yeah? You're gonna get you just, that's the only way you want to go now for that?
Yeah. It was fun, though. That's great.
When you see and you prepare these guys, right, and you decide, hey, you only got one or two guys, an ambassador for this program, Matt, why were these two the guys to go?
Well, Derek, for us, most efficient returning player. Mm-hmm. Guy really embodies what I want the LSU program to be. Hard-playing guy who's all about the team, all about the right things, really sets the example in everything we do every day. Then with Jordan, you know, guy who's, you know, SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year, yeah, guy we're counting on to be a leader, not only on the court but in the locker room. Guy who scored over 1,000 points in this league and had a lot of success. Great opportunity for both of them to be here and represent LSU.
Matt, I don't want to spend too much time in the rearview mirror.
Me either.
I do think it's important that LSU fans, SEC fans, realize exactly what you came into last year. There's been a lot of challenging jobs, a lot of challenges that coaches face when they stepped into office. But what was that like for you last year versus this offseason?
Yeah, I think most importantly, I mean, it's an opportunity of a lifetime to be at LSU. It's the greatest brand in sports and, you know, a place where you can win at the highest level. The circumstances in the short term weren't necessarily ideal, but learned a lot from it. We had an opportunity to go out into the portal this spring and sign a top 10 class there. Really wanted to get older, get more experience, get some proven guys from the top 9 leagues in the country, and we were able to do that. And then also we got a lot of guys with Louisiana ties to come back to LSU, and it's one of the many things I love about LSU, the pride that the people of Louisiana have in those three letters. And so I think that's really going to benefit us moving forward.
Good. Hey, Derek, so with new players coming in, right, so what's your responsibility for bringing them in and teaching the way and kind of welcoming them in to make sure that they have success too?
I would say just trying to get them to understand the atmosphere over here and get to understand
a little bit of what to expect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just trying to help them understand that.
Right. It's not easy in this league, is it?
No.
As you sit there.
As you know, Derek's another guy who's a transfer from within the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spent 2 years at Mississippi State, so he knows, you know, what those daily battles look like. And, you know, the thing I love about him, it might not be through his words, but through his actions, he really shows the way. And just our kind of guy, someone you want to build your program around.
Yeah. Derek, when I was at practice earlier about a month ago, I noticed that the culture, the defense, the chemistry, you guys were together so much more. What can you see different early coming into this season than you saw last year?
I feel like we all have an understanding. Like, we all have an understanding of what we want to make happen this year. So it's just come easy because everybody wants to win this year. Everybody wants to play, and we all get it, and we all doing better with the culture, like Coach said. So,
Coach, one of the things we've seen, and you've done it, is sort of evaluate the end of the year and say, this is how and what we want to bring in. I know you wanted to get older, and you did, and Jordan Wright was one of those guys. What do you expect out of him?
Well, starting off the floor, I think, you know, leadership is hard. You know, really, it sucks because, you know, these guys are finding out. You got to do it every day.
Yeah.
You got to be consistent in everything you do to be a leader. So that's where we're really challenging him. I think you see in this league a lot of switching on the defensive side of the ball. So his versatility to play multiple positions. And a guy who's had success. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really going to be important for us.
When you look at it, too, it's important to get the PMAC back rolling, right? I mean, Tiger Stadium does well. Alec Box Stadium is obviously so loud for baseball as well, too. And Kim's doing a great job with hoops coming off the title. What is it, that style of basketball that needs to be played right there to get that fan base energized once
again? Well, I think it starts with, you know, how hard you play. Mm-hmm. You know, people respect that. They respect hard work and toughness. And then this is the challenging in the portal world, building a team that's connected and together and plays the game the right way. And a lot of challenging moments last year, but I think one of the challenges for a fan base, you know, do you wait? Some people will say, we'll wait till they win and then we'll come out, or you can come out now and be part of the reason why we win. And I would point to that game against Arkansas last year.
Yeah.
You know, four NBA players on that floor. We really had no business being in the game, but almost 12,000 people in there, an electric atmosphere, and really helped us have a strong home court advantage.
What are your thoughts on a guy like Jalen Cook, right? Obviously at LSU, goes to Tulane, now back with you. What does his presence really do to help inspire not only yourself, but maybe some of his teammates?
Yeah, I think where you're growing as a coaching staff and getting better, you're no longer evaluating Jalen Cook as a 17-year-old high school player. You're evaluating him as a guy who has 3 years under his belt, who's been a first-team All-League in the American, 20 points, 5 assists a game. Just his ability to create, not only for himself, but for, you know, where I think he was the second leading sophomore scorer in the country last year, but the last two seasons also been top 5% in the country in assist rate. So that's what you're looking for there. And, you know, we half our roster is out of the portal from the spring. And, you know, Damian Collins,
a guy
from Kentucky, another guy in the league, you know, played behind a pretty good player there, Oscar.
Pretty good, Mr. Sheetway.
But, yeah, he's been a great blessing to our program. 6'9", 7'5 wingspan, 40-plus inch vertical, and a little more skilled than I had anticipated coming in. So, really excited about those pieces we've been able to add.
Yeah. I just love that you were talking about how good of a, you know, wingspan, all of that stuff. And, Derek, I just see you just shaking your head going, yep, that's about right. That's about right. He's been giving you some problems in practice or what? So you're the bucket over him? You got him so far?
I got him.
Okay. Who gets you right now in practice? Who right now you can't figure out right now, just going, man, this guy's a bucket?
Bake.
Yeah, well, you're thinking, I was going to say Will Baker.
Will Baker.
Yeah.
7 foot transfer, 250. So physical in the post, but he can step out and shoot it from three.
Coach, the competition must be just through the roof right now in practice with things being so wide open.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun to watch, especially in the front court where you're looking at, you know, 4 6-10s, plus a 7-footer, plus the freshman Corey Chess, 6'8", high motor guy. So a lot of competition there in the front court. Our back court's been a little bit banged up, but there's good size there as well when you talk about Jordan Wright at 6'6", Tyrell Ward, 6'7", and Monty Wilkinson back. You know, he's a guy who's wanted LSU before, really battled through a shoulder injury last year, but he's been terrific coming off that shoulder surgery. So a lot of competition.
Yeah.
I can't sit here. You know, usually first question from Damian, who's your starting five? I have no idea. But it has been fun to watch the competition. And, you know, 2 weeks from Monday's opening night, so still a lot to be proven here in the next couple weeks.
Could be good sometimes.
So it's a great thing. Right? It's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly not going to be a charity, and guys are going to have to earn everything they get.
Right. One of the guys that I noticed was Trey Hannibal, who had certainly improved over the offseason. Derek, I'm sure you have improved as well, but what are your thoughts on Hannibal's game, what he can potentially bring to the team this year?
Yeah, yet another SEC background guy,
transfer
started
South
in South Carolina. But I think consistency is the key word, and I know we talked about that when you were on campus. Talking about a guy who was SEC Player of the Week and during the week last season. Two double-doubles in the SEC tournament. Physical skills at his size as a combo guard. You know, one of our top rebounders. You know, it looks like he should be playing middle linebacker.
Yeah, no doubt. He can make some money.
But I think it's his final year, and I think he's well aware of that. You know, he has 5 months left to maximize this opportunity, and we're counting on him to do big things for us on both ends of the court.
Looking forward to seeing the Bayou Bengals in action, and y'all had it good, man. You went to Bahamas, ate well, and, of course, you always eat well there in the 225. So going to be a fun season over there at the PMAC. Coach, we appreciate the time. Derek, best of luck. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, we're back. Let's grab some phone calls here and check in with Quentin in Georgia. Hello, Quentin.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I had a coaching show yesterday, and I remember a caller calling in by the name, I think, Bama Nick. And he started to tell you that the reason he stopped calling your show because your show had became too woke.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if Bama Nick knows what the word woke means. I just wonder, because with him, I'm assuming he's a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm a black man.
Well, he is. I've
and I'm assuming
guy.
If he knows. Say again?
Quentin, I can help you. I know Bama Mick, Nick. What Bama Nick doesn't like is a free flow of conversation, different opinions, people that have different life experiences and view things differently than Alabama rules the world.
Oh, okay, I get it. Because I would assume with him being a white man, that he, you know, that would have said a lot about him if he thought the show was woke, like he looked at that as a negative thing. But and my next point is to the Bama fans. Bama fans calling in, worried about what Georgia's going to look like without Brock. Don't worry about what Georgia looked like without Brock. Y'all got enough to worry about with Tennessee coming in and that screen door of an offensive line that y'all got. I mean, you look at it, the general's got 2 weeks. He's got 2 weeks to prepare for Florida. Now, if you look at our play over the season, over the year, Georgia gets up with big games, do we not? So everybody assumes that Florida's a big game. We'll be okay at Florida. I predict we'll smash Florida. But, I mean, Bama fans call up and talk like they got the 85 Bears in defense or something, or like they got the damn, like they are the
monsters of the Midway.
The Patriots with Tom Brady back there. Like, I don't understand it. I mean, get over it. We took the crown in Indy.
They got Refrigerator Perry.
Exactly. They got Fridge running the rock like it's all said and
man,
done.
Man, Ditka. I mean, no, you're right. Quentin, really great call. I'm in your debt for saying that. Thank you very much. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Did you catch Saturday Night Live's spoof on primetime?
I sure did. What a takedown.
What a takedown. And, of course, it's the third Saturday in October's coming up, and I'm really interested in watching the Tennessee-Alabama game, and regardless of what the outcome is, being a old school Georgia football fan, I have a tendency to backslide three or four decades every once in a while, and I'm concerned about our bye week this year, Paul. Do you have any good news for me?
I think it comes at a good time because, you know, with Bowers out, I think it gives everybody a chance to regroup and get ready for what I think is an amazingly difficult stretch. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.